It's stories from Theo and Matt. Good morning, boys and girls.
It's Theo and Matt. Podcast.
What a beautiful day it is today in Sydney. We hope you are having a wonderful day wherever you are. Theo, what are we going to read today?
The X-Mon.
The X-Mon.
The Uncanny X-Men.
The Uncanny X-Men, what could that possibly mean? How will we find out what that means?
Let's see.
Should we read the book?
Yeah.
But when?
Right. Soon. Now.
This is a story about a boy named Charles Xavier, who dreamed he could do many things that an ordinary boy could not. He dreamed his mind could leave his body and float like a feather. He dreamed he could know what other people were thinking before they even opened their mouths to speak. But Charles didn't want to tell other people about his special dreams because he was afraid of how they might treat him. So Charles dreamed of a world where people like himself, people who felt different, could be proud to be themselves. But those dreams would always end abruptly. His father had passed away when he was just a young boy. He lived in his father's mansion with his mother, who loved him very much. But his older brother and his stepfather were heartless and cruel to Charles and his mother. That's not very nice. Very cruel. Charles didn't like the other kids either. He began to lose his hair at a very young age. By the time he was a teenager, Charles's head was completely bare. But that was not all. Charles had always heard whispers of things that no one was saying out loud. As he grew older, he began to hear them more and more clearly. Eventually, Charles realized that he could read minds. As time went by and Charles grew older, he used his gift to gain knowledge. He studied to become a doctor of science. He wanted to learn more about why he had these special powers. Looks like he's doing a lot of reading at the library, talking to a lot of his colleagues. What is happening? Charles soon discovered that he was a mutant, a person born with special abilities. His studies took him all over the world. And while in Egypt, Charles met another mutant for the first time. The mutant was evil, and Charles had to stop him. So they fought on the astral plane, and Charles won. Whoa, what does that other guy look like?
Magnus.
Can you explain what Magnus looks like?
Like the evil, like cyborg or something.
Yeah, he looks like he's got a lot of armor on. He looks like kind of metal, right?
Yeah. Middle.
Charles soon met another mutant, a man named Eric Magnus. Magnus had the mutant power to move metal objects without touching them. Charles and Magnus became fast friends, but they did not always agree. Magnus knew humans feared and hated mutants. He thought the only way for mutants to keep themselves safe was to use their powers to take over the world. But Charles still dreamed of a world where humans and mutants could live peacefully together. As he continued his travels, Charles began to think about returning home. But during a stop on his journey, Charles encountered an alien named Lucifer. He wanted to destroy both humans and mutants. What does Lucifer look like?
A giant evil fire.
That's a good description. They fought, and the alien brought down his secret hideaway on top of Charles. Charles survived, but his legs had been crushed. He would never again be able to walk. He returned home, more determined than ever to find other mutants. He would train them to fight any threat, mutant, human, or alien. Charles's mother and stepfather had passed away, and his brother had left the mansion long ago. The Xavier home was empty, but it wouldn't stay that way for long. The first mutant Charles found was named Scott Summers. Charles called him Cyclops for the optic blasts he could shoot from his eyes. Next, Charles and Cyclops rescued a teenager from an angry mutant-hating mob. The boy, Bobby Drake, could turn himself into ice and called himself
Iceman.
Then the growing group found Warren Worthington III, who called himself
Angel
for the wings that helped him fly. And finally, Hank McCoy joined the team. Hank was called
the Beast
because of his large hands and feet, which helped him swing like a monkey and punch like a gorilla. Charles renamed the mansion Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters. To the outside world, it was just another boarding school. But secretly, it was a school for young mutants to learn how to use their powers. The students were each given uniforms and pledged to fight for Charles's dream. Charles called himself Professor X, and his team the X-Men, because each member had an extraordinary power. The X-Men soon welcomed their fifth and final founding member, Jean Grey, called Marvel Girl. Jean could move things with her mind. Professor X then built a computer to locate other mutants. The machine, called Cerebro, showed that a mutant was attacking an army base. It was the professor's old friend Magnus, now known as Magneto. He wanted to wage war on the human race. Charles knew that only the X-Men could stop his old friend. Look at all of them, Theo. The X-Men arrived at the base just as Magneto began to attack, and so the X-Men sprang into action and attacked him right back. Rawr, look at him. I like the Iceman. He can create his own ice. Cyclops tried to blast through Magneto's magnetic field, but he couldn't. Magneto guided every missile that Marvel Girl tried to send at him right back at her. Angel and the Beast did not fare much better. Oh no, I think Magneto's winning. At last, Magneto attacked them all. But Marvel Girl covered her teammates with a force field. The X-Men were not so easily defeated. The X-Men had to stop Magneto and turn him over to the police. But Magneto had escaped. The X-Men were disappointed. But Professor X told them he was very proud of them for stopping the attack. Over the next few months, the X-Men trained in a special gym called the Danger Room. The room was filled with obstacles to help the X-Men perfect their abilities. Whoa, what's this training? What are they doing here, Theo?
Bam, boom, cash.
And Professor X used Cerebro to keep a constant watch for new mutants. And he found many. But more often than not, the mutants were evil. After many battles, the X-Men graduated and became fully fledged heroes. Professor X had never been prouder of his students. He retired their school uniforms and dressed them in new costumes. But the end of their school days did not mean the end of their missions. In fact, things only got more difficult for the X-Men. More mutants were appearing each day, and humans were becoming more and more concerned. They were afraid of the mutants' powers. Even though the X-Men tried to protect humans and live Professor Xavier's dream, people treated all mutants badly. What do they got here, Theo? Signs. What do these signs say? Leave our town. Go home. Not here. As mutants grew in number, so did the X-Men. Cyclops' brother, Alex Summers, an energy-blasting mutant called Havoc, and Lorna Dane, called Polaris for their magnetic abilities, joined the team. But the group was still too small to fight all of the threats. And when the X-Men went missing on a dangerous mission, Professor X had to assemble a new group to rescue them. Oh, who's going to be in the new group, Theo?
Let's see.
In Canada, he recruited a mutant named Wolverine, who could heal himself of any injury and whose claws could cut through almost anything. In Germany, Charles found Kurt Wagner, called Nightcrawler, who could move from place to place with just a thought. Together with Wolverine and Nightcrawler, Professor X decided to seek out more good mutants to help rescue the original X-Men. In Ireland, Charles found Sean Cassidy, Banshee, whose sonic scream could shatter stone and steel. In Africa, Charles met Aurora Munro, a weather mutant called Storm. And in Russia, the mutant Peter Rasputin, called Colossus, because he could turn himself to metal, bid a tearful farewell to his family to join the Professor. Charles's new international team wasted no time in their search to find the original X-Men. The new X-Men rescued the original team from Krakoa, the living island. What is going on this island?
They're fighting an island. It's like a giant monster.
Whoa. Everyone's shooting stuff at it. The new group decided to stay at Xavier's school. They trained to use their powers. Soon, they became X-Men. They were a kind of family. But no matter what the X-Men did, trouble seemed to find them. No matter the day, month, or season, the X-Men were never safe. Whoa. Well, who are they fighting there, Theo?
Giant robots.
Enemies, both old and new, were always attacking. And with every incident, humans became more worried about mutants. But with every battle, Charles felt the need to fight harder for his dream. And whenever Charles felt hope leaving him, he'd just lie down, just as he did when he was a boy, close his eyes, drift off to sleep, and dream. That was pretty cool. Wow, there were so many X-Men at the end there. So many. Do you think there are enough X-Men to defeat all the baddies?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We'll see you kids another time.
Goodbye!
See ya!
Goodbye.